Good morning. On behalf of Cook's Church, we want to welcome you today. And today is Women's Sunday, so the women will be leading the worship service today. I have a few announcements before we start. First of all, some of you may have known our past associate pastor, Stephen Barnes. Well, his parents, as well, went here, Emily and Jeff. And Emily passed away this past week, so we want to offer our sympathies to Stephen and his father, Jeff, and the whole family on the death of Emily. We want to keep them in our prayers. Today, we will have Bible study at 6 with Jason over in Fellowship Hall, so we want to welcome and hope everybody can come to that. All are welcome. Tuesday, we will have our circle meetings. We have the morning circle, which will start at 10:30, and we have the evening circle at 7, which both will be held in Fellowship Hall. This is also the week for our community meal, and we have a wonderful surprise this week. We get to start back eating inside. And for those that don't feel comfortable eating inside, you can come back to the kitchen, side kitchen door, and they'll give you a plate to go. But I think most of us will be glad to be able to fellowship together once again. And yeah.
What we've asked them to do instead of coming to the side kitchen door is to come just inside Fellowship Hall, and we'll get the takeouts from there. We thought it might be too confusing with people coming in and out of
the kitchen. Okay. All right. So, change of plans. Come right in. If you want to get a plate to go, come inside Fellowship Hall at the front, and someone will be there to give you plates to go. We will be having shepherd's pie, salad, and dessert. So it sounds like a wonderful meal that we'll be having this week. We all have a wonderful meal every month, though. Loaves and fishes this month are collecting, as we always do. There's a barrel in the Northex. There's one in the education building. And this month we'll be collecting peanut butter, jelly, cereals, and fruit juices, 100% fruit juices, plus some other things that are listed in the bulletin. No glass containers, please. The daily breads are out, and pick one up as you go if you haven't already. And we have a community garden, and I don't know how many of you are familiar with our community garden, but we do have plots over there where you can rent and plant gardens if you like. And Michael Mooney is responsible for that, and he needs some help this year in building garden boxes. Excuse me, the pollen's out this morning. building garden boxes. So if you can help build the garden boxes, if you would call Michael, and the number's in the bulletin. Our beautiful flowers today are in memory of Bill Cook and Rose Miller by Angela Cook and Mike Miller. So they are beautiful. And with that, Leah.
My heart exults in God. My strength is exalted in my God. God makes poor and makes rich. It is God who both humbles and exalts.
God raises up the poor from the dust. God lifts the needy from the ash heap to place them among the mighty and promotes them to seats of honor.
God judges the ends of the earth.
God will endow the ruler with strength and exalt the head of the anointed one.
Let us bow our heads for prayer. Gracious God, as we come together today for worship, we ask for your grace, we ask for your mercy. We ask that you would open our hearts and minds to your word, and let us hear what you have to say to us. Fill us with your peace and spirit. Amen. If you're able now, if you would stand and let us sing When Morning Gilds the Skies. It's found on page 667 in our hymn. God offers the gift of forgiveness and the opportunity for us to ask for forgiveness. So let us now confess our sins before God and each other. Join me in the prayer of confession. Loving God, we confess that we criticize and pass judgment on others. We have sought to control the way they live, service to you. Forgive us of our short-sightedness and sin. Help us to understand, appreciate, and love our siblings in Christ who have diverse experiences and life challenges. Help us to recognize the variety of ways we can express our faithfulness and love to you. Amen. By the waters of baptism, we have been eternally claimed, and by a loving God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Now let us affirm what we believe by saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You may remain seated as we sing our next hymn and join me in singing Though I May Speak on page 693 of your hymnal. Would all the children and the youth join Miss Lyerly up here for a children's time.
Well, good morning, everyone. Can everybody hear me? Well, good. It's good to see everybody. I'm used to being on the floor when we all get together in our carpet squares at school, so it feels a little different to sit up here for a second. But has everybody had a great weekend so far? Yeah, good. So far. Hey, sometimes we need to do that, right? The body tells us what we need to do. Can anyone tell me what's so special about today here at Cook's Memorial? Yeah, Lou? Well, yes, thank you for that. Yes, yeah, 2 days from my birthday. Aiden? It is Women's Sunday. And that means that the entire service is being done by women. So we want to thank everyone who's been a part of that. I want to talk to you guys about a special woman in the Bible. Her name is Mary, or some of you guys might know her as Jesus' mom. I don't know about you, but even though a lot of people at school call me Miss Heather, I still have kids who come through the hallway and say, "Hey, Luke's mom." So we're going to refer to her as Jesus' mom. There's not a lot written about Mary, except for her role in the beginning. And there's some other places in the Bible they talk about her, but I want to focus on the beginning. She was chosen by God to bring her only son into the world. Jesus was flesh and bones, just like you and I. So he was just like you and I. But he was born by Mary. So you can take some strong ideas. I was thinking about Mary and being Jesus' mom. What was it like to be Mary? Well, I think she fed him. Don't you think she fed him? Yeah. Yeah. You think she might have changed his diapers? You think they had diapers back then? Yeah, I think she might have changed his diapers. Clothed them? Yeah, mom, yeah. Somebody helps you get your clothes? I bet she might have washed his clothes. She might have put him to bed. Yeah, read him some stories. Does mom or dad or someone special in your life read stories to y'all? Yeah, sometimes. Maybe you're getting a little old for that now. Aiden, you're getting a little old for that? Yeah. Hey. I don't know. I'm never too old for this one. If I get sick, who do we want? We want that someone special, or we want that mom, right? That helps us make us feel better. Well, does anyone like that in your lives that makes you, that's like Mary in your life? Is there anybody in your life that's like that? Yeah, Luke.
You.
Me, yeah.
My mother.
Your mom, yeah. Anybody else? Got anybody special that's like that helps you out? Well, we all need someone special like Mary. The question I have for you guys is if we can all have what I call a mother's heart. Now, you don't have to be a mom to have a mother's heart. But when I looked up what a mother's heart meant, it meant to nurture, protect, and create. God created each of us, each and every one of us. God nurtured us by his words from the Bible, if you ever read your Bible. God protects us from by giving us eternal life if we believe in him. Now, think about those things. And when you are going out today into the congregation and after church, we all gather outside. If there's someone in this church that has nurtured or supported you, then I want you to give them a big hug. And, you know, same thing with you guys out there. You know, if you've been baptized, then every single person in this church you're going to give a hug to. Because in baptism, we all become brothers and sisters in Christ. So we all give a big hug to everyone on that one. But can you bow your heads with me, and we're going to take a little prayer, okay? Dear God, help us to be kind and compassionate to one another. If we see someone who falls down on the playground, or at work, let us be the one to help them up. If someone needs our help at school or at work, Lord, help me be the one to help them. And Lord, help me make good choices. And if I don't make good choices, please forgive me. Just as Christ has forgiven me. Amen. All right. Now remember, if you have that someone special, give them a hug after church.
Ladies, I'm glad you came in and sat down and make yourselves comfortable. My name is Jen, and I'm the coordinator here at our Presbyterian Women's Ministry. Before our meeting begins today, I thought it would be nice to have a few moments in private to welcome all of you and to answer any questions you may have regarding our women's groups. Let's start by introducing yourselves. Who would like to go first?
I will. My name is Mary. I have 3 children. My oldest son is a senior in college, and my daughter just got married last spring. My youngest son just left this year to attend college in Boston.
Thank you, Mary. It's so nice to meet you. Oh, are you all right?
I'm sorry. I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Yes, really. Just please continue.
Okay, then. Who's next?
My name is Bess. I have 2 teenage boys and 2 girls in elementary school. Are you okay?
Yes. It's just, teenagers are so wonderful.
Since when?
Perhaps we should move on. Snore.
Yes?
I think she's sleeping. I'm coming in.
Oh, God, wake up. Oh, I'm sorry. Henry, just put my teeth in for me, please.
Ma'am?
What happened? And where am I?
You're at our Presbyterian women meeting. We're just going around introducing ourselves.
My name is Ruth. I'm 83 years old. My husband Henry and I have been married for 61 years. And I have 5 grandchildren and 5 children and 11 grandchildren.
Well, we're certainly glad to have you with us, Ruth.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
I guess that just leaves me. My name is Sarah. I've got 3 toddlers, ages 3, 2, and 1.
Lord have mercy, girl. What were you thinking?
I've been wondering that a lot myself lately.
You're so lucky.
Mary, I don't mean to pry, but is there something I can help you with? You seem so upset.
I know. I can't help it. I can't stop crying. That's why I'm here.
You need a shoulder to cry on?
Yes. I mean, no. I mean, sort of. Oh, I don't know.
It's okay. It's okay. You're among new friends. Go ahead and let it all out.
Well, I'm an empty nester, and I miss my kids. Ever since I had my first son, I've been, you know, mom. You know, I changed diapers, made school lunches, went to every ballet recital. Oh, but, you know, Now they're all gone, and I just don't know what to do with myself.
You poor dear.
My husband, he's at work all day. I have no one to talk to. That's why I'm here. I didn't even sign up for the class. I just wanted someone to chat with.
Well, that's okay, Mary. You've definitely come to the right place. We're some of the chattiest girls in town.
Oh, bless you all.
But as long as you're here, you might benefit from our Experiencing God study. I think that study will help you create a deeper relationship with God. And he can begin to fill in the void you are missing with the departure of your children. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Now, Sarah, why are you here?
To get away from the kids for a few hours.
Amen, sister.
Don't get me wrong, I love my kids, but with all the dirty diapers and the baths and story time and playtime and laundry and mommy, look at this, and mommy, I need that, and mommy, 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 I just need a break. I mean, I'm here for the community and fellowship of other women, of course. That and the boot camp exercise program.
You don't look like you need an exercise program. You got a great figure, honey.
Besides, running after those three toddlers is plenty of exercise for anyone.
Well, I also signed up for the sweeter than chocolate class. I figured if I'm going to be eating all of those sweets, I better get some extra exercise to go with it. Otherwise, I'm going to gain 20 pounds. What?
Sarah, sweeter than chocolate was a retreat we're planning.
It is?
Yes.
So there's no sweets or chocolate?
Afraid not.
Oh.
But you know, I may have another group that may serve you better.
Nothing could be better than chocolate.
She's got a point, Jen.
Okay, maybe not better than chocolate, but helpful just the same. The new study is called Moms on a Mission. It's for moms just like you who have young kids and who need some mommy time. They're also reading The Power of a Praying Parent. I think you'll enjoy it.
That sounds good. I'll give it a try, even if there's no chocolate. Sorry about the mix-up on my part.
Hey, don't beat yourself up, sister. I'm just here for the refreshments anyway.
Excuse me?
Hey, I've got two teenage boys. They're eating me out of house and home. I'm lucky if I get a crumb of anything. I take whatever I can, whenever I can. Hey, lumberjack, wake up. You were sawing some pretty serious logs there.
I need some wake-up juice. All I ever get at home is decaf coffee. The other stuff just keeps me awake at night, but without it, I can't stay awake now.
Well, then, you're in luck, because we serve some great coffee here. Calf or decaf, your choice. Drink all you want.
Hallelujah. Is that before or after the bingo?
Oh, you have bingo here?
I beg your pardon?
I came here to play bingo. You don't play bingo? I'm even wearing my lucky girdle. So it'll really, really work. We need bingo.
I'm afraid we don't have bingo.
Why not?
Well, it's just not part of our, that is to say, we don't have a need for, I mean, I don't know how that would fit in with our...
Don't get your panties all in a bunch here. It was just a question. No bingo's fine, although if that's the case, I think I might lose the girdle. I think it's cutting off my circulation.
Well, let's just wait until after we're finished here, if you don't mind.
Right, sorry. Hey, as long as I'm already here and I've got caffeinated coffee and all, do you have any groups that would interest an old lady like me?
How about a chronological study of the Bible?
I'm sure someone of Ruth's age and wisdom has already read the Bible many times.
Yeah, but at my age, I don't remember what I need 6 minutes ago, so it's like reading it all over for the first time. Sign me up.
Great!
I guess that just leaves me. I kind of like the idea of that Praying Parent book you were telling Sarah about. How about that class for me?
Sure, if you think that's something you would enjoy.
Honey, I've got two teenage boys. They need all the prayer they can get.
Okay, then. Looks like everyone has found a class. I just know you're all going to love it. We should be starting in a few minutes, but before we go, does anyone have any questions?
I don't know if this is the kind of question you meant, but aren't you a little upset with us for being here?
Why would I be upset? I'm glad you're here.
I think what Sarah means is, aren't you upset about the reasons why we're here?
Oh, you mean because of bingo and the food and the coffee and the childcare and everything.
Yeah, doesn't that bother you?
Not at all.
Why not? You must look like a bunch of nuts to you.
Look, we've all come here for different reasons. Then, when I first came here at 26, and I was still single, I just needed some time out of my apartment that didn't involve a man or a date.
I hear you.
That was 5 years ago. Now I'm happily married and looking to start a family. So you see, each one of us is at a different stage in life. Look around. We're all different ages, probably with very different backgrounds and lifestyles.
I'll agree with that.
Yet each one of us is looking for something, something deeper than just coffee or refreshments. We could get that kind of stuff anywhere. Yet we all chose to come here. Why?
My cousin told me about this place. She said it was the only place she felt she could truly be herself, around other women who really understood what she was going through.
Yeah, okay. I heard some women at the grocery store talking about the women here. It sounded like a neat group to be around. I've never been part of a group that supported each other like I heard this place does. I guess I just wanted to feel what that was like.
Well, most of my life has centered around my kids. I didn't have time for friendships, and I didn't really need them. But now that my kids are gone, I kind of feel lost. I don't remember who I am anymore. I feel like I need something or someone.
What about you, Ruth?
Maybe she just needs a good bed and a soft pillow.
Whatever the initial reason is, you came. I know deep down your real reasons for being here are all the same. You desire fellowship and community with other women who share your journey, spiritual or otherwise.
Yep, that's exactly what I'm feeling.
Those of us already here are choosing to do life together, to be there for one another during good times and bad times. We're here to encourage one another and lift each other up while we draw closer to God.
I never looked at it like that before.
Just think of the programs and the women here in your at this church as stepping stones in your life. Each one represents a new chapter and adventure in each stage of your journey.
I like that.
So whatever your needs are and whatever the initial reason you came, I'm still glad you're here because I know you will find what you're looking for and you'll be blessed while going through it.
But it's okay if we still enjoy the other stuff too, right?
Of course. We've got some good refreshments out there today. Best eat all you want.
Thank you.
Well, I think it's time to get started and get out of here. The program is about to begin.
What do we do with her?
Allow me. Oh, 72.
Bingo!
Good morning. I have a story I would like to share with you today. Once there were two traveling angels who stopped to spend the night in the home of a wealthy family. The family was rude and refused to let the angels stay in the mansion's guest room. Instead, the angels were given a space in the cold basement. As they made their bed on the hard, cold floor, the older angel saw a hole in the wall, and he repaired it, or she repaired it. When the younger angel asked why, the older angel replied, "Things aren't always what they seem." Well, the angels traveled on, and the next night the pair came to rest at a house of a very poor but very hospitable farmer and his wife. After sharing what little food they had, the couple let the angels sleep in their bed where they could have a good night's rest. When the sun came up the next morning, the angels found the farmer and his wife in tears. Their only cow, whose milk had been their sole income, lay dead in the field. The younger angel was infuriated and asked the older angel, "How could you have let this happen? The first man had everything, yet you helped him," she accused. "The second family had very little, but was willing to share everything, and you let their cow die." "Things aren't always what they seem," the older angel replied. "When we stayed in the basement of the mansion, I noticed that there was gold stored in that hole in the wall. Since the owner was so obsessed with greed and unwilling to share his good fortune, I sealed the wall shut so he wouldn't find it. And then last night, as we slept in the farmer's bed, the angel of death came for his wife. I gave her the cow instead." Things aren't always what they seem. Sometimes this is exactly what happens when things don't turn out like we want them to. If you have faith, you just need to trust God that every outcome is always to our advantage. You might not know it until sometime later. Having faith is a hard thing to do. Look at Abraham and Job and Daniel and Jesus himself. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us." God's plan may not be revealed to us immediately, but the thing to remember is God is God. We are not.
Thank you, Jeannie. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Psalms 139, 1 through 14. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 618. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind, and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Our New Testament reading this morning is from Luke 2:25-35, which is on your pew Bible on page 1015. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm not really going to preach a sermon, but I want to let you all know how important women have always been in the Presbyterian Church. The Presbyterian Church had its origins in colonial times, especially when the Scotch-Irish immigrated here. In 1789, the first national Presbyterian denomination was formed in the U.S., So more than 200 years ago, women had little or no role outside of the home. They had their many things that they needed to do in the home, but they also had their church or their worship place. In the Presbyterian Church, at the time when women finally began gaining respect in the role of the missionaries in the field. And so when the church was sending out missionaries, the missionaries needed women's prayers and donations. So in the 1800s, the work of Presbyterian women varied with the cultural backgrounds of North and South when the church had split after the Civil War. Since then, Presbyterian women have been in the forefront of national movements. They have long advocated for women and children and crusaded for the right to fair paid work for African Americans, people of Appalachia, and immigrants. And in the 1800s, the mission work of Presbyterian women broadened to include Asian women, especially in the San Francisco area and Hawaii. Women began going into the field to actively do something about many other societal problems. By answering God's call, women's work in the church was validated, and the role of women in both foreign and home missions expanded throughout the 19th century. In 1872, the General Assembly asked women members to devise some way to raise money to support women missionaries in the field. And so the first national organization for women in a Presbyterian denomination was established, Women's General Mission Society. And at the same time, the Presbyterian Church of the USA, the women set up the Women of the Church. And you maybe have heard us called Women of the Church. Their financial support of missions was outstanding and included the thank offering, which began in 1888, and the birthday offering, which was initiated in 1922, and they continue today. In the 1930s and 40s, missions was expanded to include sending workers to work in the inner cities and working to bring people together after the two world wars. Peace became a continuing emphasis of Presbyterian women as they went into the 20th century and 21st century. Women in the Presbyterian Church, USA, could finally be elected as elders. They worked to stamp out hunger, exploitation of women and children, and war. These were strong women who took tough positions on racism, reproductive choice, and equal rights for women in society and the church. In 1988, the organization called Presbyterian Women was born. It's two centuries after Presbyterian women first gathered to pray and give their money to the church women. Now they have a voice in the church and the world. We are adaptable, determined, proactive, charitable, generous, and dedicated to God. We are now considered, the Presbyterian Women is an auxiliary organization of the Presbyterian Church, USA. So why am I involved in Presbyterian Women? Well, I watched my mother as I was growing up in the 50s and the 60s in our Presbyterian Church, being actively involved in every aspect of church life. She helped design and equip the new kitchen in the Ed Building. Being in it, she was in a circle. She was part of the Women of the Church. And she also received the Honorary Lifetime Achievement Award. And she was also an elder. She took homebound to church and visited them in their homes. She helped with church suppers. And at Christmas, she organized a chrismon service for the church. She was still active in 1995 when she suffered a stroke and died at age 86. But all of you women, you're all Presbyterian women. You don't have to come to circle meetings to be a Presbyterian woman. I've seen our women helping in the kitchen, pancake supper, organizing and working at yard sales and craft sales. This was to raise money for the church. Serving cookies on Sunday after church, visiting the homebound, cooking for the community meal, taking friends to doctor's appointments, seeing any need in the church building, like organizing closets, which was done recently, and refurbishing the pastor's study before he came. Women have also helped in rooming in and have gone downtown to urban ministries to serve drinks and have made many sandwiches for the homeless. We would love to have you come to our circle meetings. We always begin with prayer. We discuss how we can use our money or how we can raise money for various causes, both globally and locally, and have a Bible study. This is each month. That will be this Tuesday, and there's one at night that Johnny has. We are following the purposes of the Presbyterian Women, and I want to read those to you. Because we are forgiven and freed by God in Jesus Christ, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we commit ourselves to nurture our faith through prayer and Bible study, support the mission of the church worldwide, work for justice and peace, and build an inclusive, caring community of women that strengthens the Presbyterian Church with USA and witnesses to the promise of God's kingdom. I heard one of my women say not long ago that coming to the meetings or being around meetings is just something that she needed if she had a problem or something. We always help each other to feel better. So we would love to have you, but I know most of you are already involved in some way, and so you are our Presbyterian women. I'd like to thank Bev for organizing this wonderful service. It's not over yet, but she has done most of the work and found the resources and the people to help today. And so we're glad you're here, and I think we still have some nice surprises. I do want to say, some of our women have received the award, the Honorary Lifetime Achievement Award. Would you please stand if you have received it? I know Carrie has, Johnny has, Jeannie has just recently. Phyllis did. I have received it. Oh, there they are. My goodness, there's three of them right over there. I know that Kelly Harper was here a while ago. And I would like to dedicate this service to three women that from this church that really had helped me grow as a Presbyterian woman, and that was Betty Hunt, Jerry Rhodes, and Gretchen McClure. They were so wonderful and active. Phyllis now wants to tell you what being a Presbyterian woman means to her.
Petey has asked that I share a very short list of things that Cook's Presbyterian women do. And one of the things that we really do and have been for a number of years is we help support the Kajada Children's Home with school supplies, clothing, anything they need. And some of our women and some of our men have traveled there to spend time with the children. And these children have become very close to these women and have seen them grow from little children up to older teens, and they have also bonded with them in friendship and continue to stay in touch with them. The last time they went, the Presbyterian women gave them money to take these girls shopping, which is something they never get to do. A child over there, they don't have the money to go. And so here at home as well, as Petey mentioned, we keep the kitchen and the fellowship building supplied with whatever it may need. We have a blanket Sunday where we provide blankets to the shelters. And Presbyterian women help at Christmas with families that are struggling for gifts. And we also remember all of our shut-ins during that time with a little gift. That's just a few things that Presbyterian women do, but I want you to know what it means to me. The second Tuesday of every month, we meet in the fellowship hall. The morning circle is at 10:30, and the evening circle is at 7. I look forward to it. I really love the Bible study and the prayer time. We can share whatever problems we are having or hurts, and these women pray with you and for you, and I love that. Also, when I was younger, as one of the skit ladies said, and had little children, that was a wonderful night out for mama and Don graciously kept the children, and I got to go to circle meeting, and that was a big deal. So if any of you would like to join us this Tuesday, you would be welcomed with open arms, and we would love to have you come join us.
Presbyterian Women allows a place for women to gather with likened hearts to share their joys and their concerns. Do you have prayer concerns you want to voice at this moment? Yes. Okay. Yay. And the who's the baby? Huh? What's the baby's name?
Oh, it hasn't been born.
Oh, she's surviving.
Like now, but at the time
it's a good answer to prayer.
Yeah.
Yay. Other praises or concerns? Jill Griffin is at Caramont Hospital. Please continue to remember her. Let's pray. Eric Thompson has a job offer and is moving to Ohio. Ginger will be a little bit emptier in her nest. A little bit. Not totally. Other praises or concerns? Yes, ma'am. I know if you follow Sarah on Facebook, you can celebrate with her that she has been engaged. Hurrah! We are happy for you and we'll walk with you as you plan your wedding. That is a celebration. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I have two friends that recently are going through chemo.
Mm.
So we need to put them in our prayers. I'm going to have two friends.
You want to name them?
Mary Lifford and Melinda Henry.
Mary and Melinda. Some of you can empathize with them as they have the challenges of chemo. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for your love, your compassion, your patience and forbearance. Thank you, God, for Presbyterian Women, the organization, which is in reality the people who bring your compassion, your love, put it to feet, and minister in so many ways to people. Thank you that things aren't always as they seem, and yet you are constantly working in our lives, constantly reminding us that no matter where we go, to the heavens or to the depths of despair, you're with us. As we pray now, we know that there are people who are grieving the Barnes family and others who have recently lost folks who they love so dearly. We also are aware that there are people rejoicing because of continued pregnancies and of births. As we pray now, we realize there are people weeping and trying to understand where their life is going to be as they're being driven from their country. And yet at the same time, there are strangers who are traveling from all over Europe to greet them, to say, "You can come live in our house." Thank you, God. Thank you for helping people put feet to their faith. As we pray now, we know there are people in the depths of despair and depression who may even be contemplating ending their earthly life. Help us, God, to be mindful of those that we can minister to with a smile, a hug, a voice, a prayer. As we pray now, we know that you have given us far more than we deserve. You have given us heat and electricity and water, indoor toilets, lunch, love, guidance, health. As we pray now, give us your guidance to know where you want us to be in your world and ministry. Help us to know, be aware, and be willing to be your disciple. We are aware, God, that there are people whose lives have been forever changed because of COVID. We are aware that people are still grieving the loss of their loved ones, their loss of their health, the loss of their jobs, the loss of their purpose. Thank you for those who continue to find ways to heal us physically, emotionally, and spiritually during this trying time. As we pray now, God, we are aware that you are in this holy place with us, embracing us, reminding us of these days of Lent in which we take the time to give energy to be your disciples and to remember what this season in the Christian church means. As we pray now, we sometimes don't even have the words, but you know our hearts. You know those words that can't even form. As we pray now together, we will pray as you taught your disciples long ago and continue to teach us today. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. To whom much is given, much is expected. Some of that much is in checks, folding money, coins. Some of that much is in smiles, hugs, and acts of faith. At this time, please reflect on the smiles and hugs and acts of faith God is calling you to, as well as the checks and folded money and coins as we collect our offering and have the wonderful, wonderful privilege of being led in very special music. Thank you, God. Thank you for your gifts that you provide. Thank you for gifting us with life, energy, and the ability to express your love in the world. Amen.
May today there be peace within. May we trust your highest power that we are actually where we are meant to be. We not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith. May we use those gifts that we have received and pass on the love that has been given to us. May we be content knowing that we are a child of God. Let this presence settle in our bones and allow our soul to the freedom to sing, dance, and bask in the sun. We thank you that it is there for every one of us. May the Lord watch between you and me while we're absent one from another. Amen.
The words are in the bulletin. And I'm sorry, but my glasses are wandering in the church somewhere. Huh? I even went back in the pews to see if they were back there. Don't call me the absentee professor. So let's sing it together. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide upon you, with his sheep securely fold.